Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today's podcast is all about top aesthetic trends. Let's talk about what's forecasted for me in 2026. This is what I think we're going to be doing in aesthetics. It's always such an exciting time for me when it's the beginning of the year. I love to wrap the old year. I want to get rid of all of 2025, which was full of filler fatigue, filler face, overfilling, and all kinds of trends I didn't like people dissolving their entire faces and people using substances that were not FDA approved for their faces and all kinds of controversy. 2025 had enough of that. I'm ready for 2026. Are you? Let's dive in. These are my very unique and cool forecasted ideas for 2026. Top 10. Ready? Number one, I think we're going to have hyper-personalized treatment journeys. And that means that we'll have AI diagnostics, 3D facial mapping, and lifestyle analytics. And I'll be able to build protocols for each patient that are super hyper-individualized. And that means you're going to come to my office, you're going to expect a custom injectable plan. I'm going to have like an omakase plan for your upper face, for your lower face, for your full face. We're going to have devices. We're going to stack treatments, and we're going to have skincare regimens based around your personal anatomy and your goals, and also your epigenetics, like what factors in the environment are aging you and driving change faster than normal. I'm going to be able to tell you that. That gives you more natural results and higher satisfaction. Number two, regenerative aesthetics is going to be the mainstream. Right now, a select portion of offices in the U.S., including, of course, mine, are leaders in bioregenerative aesthetics, and we want to take the whole industry beyond fillers and neurotoxins. It's time to get the body's own mechanisms for repair to turn on, and human cells have that potential. We have the ability to improve our cell division, our cell replication, our DNA repair mechanisms, and we're going to be using amazing stuff: exosomes, polynucleotides, platelet-rich plasma, platelet-rich fibrin, the collagen biostimulators. So many things I want to teach you about gene therapy and changes at the cellular level, but this requires that we teach our patients. We need to educate patients on long-term skin resilience and turning on cycles of skin reset and fibroblast exhaustion repair. These are things that we're going to do in regenerative aesthetics moving forward. So no more just tox and fillers. It's not about fine lines, wrinkles, aging, and appearance. It's about skin resilience and reversing senescence. Number three on my list is undetectable becomes the norm. I have been championing for this for so long, and the era of dramatic Instagram overfaced filled continues to fade. We're so happy about that patients are currently really good with my thoughts that I've been doing for a long time on microtox, microdosing toxins, subtle lifting, like doing an 8-point lift using one syringe of filler or product that's placed strategically along the line of ligaments to elevate the face, baby tox, refined contouring, of course, collagen stimulators. So this is our new normal. Undetectable becomes the new norm, and we elevate, we don't exaggerate. Number four, collagen banking and prevention. Interest is going to grow hugely in preventative maintenance, and I'm so proud of the millennials and Gen Z and Gen Alpha even for trying to do things early to prevent. I definitely think that things like microneedling, which was so popular this year, and stimulates your own collagen. It's a collagen induction process, growth factors, treatments with early collagen stimulation while fibroblasts are not exhausted. These kind of ideations are going to really innovate and change what we do for collagen banking and preventative aesthetics. I also think that you can have a pre-aging plan. So 2026 will be about, let's forecast how you're going to age based on your epigenetic profile, your DNA, your current rate of aging, and we can change that trajectory. I love that. I also think that we're going to teach patients this concept of turning on and resetting the mTOR cycles of their cells. And this requires so much molecular biology understanding and teaching. But for us as providers, we understand that mTOR is one of the central processes that regulates the cell. And when we're in a fasting state, we are able to break down, metabolize, and reuse products and recreate longevity for the cell. Resilience and longevity, we turn on those mechanisms that prevent aging. And when we're in a feeding state and there's high sugar environment and mTOR is going into the mTOR2 pathways, that's the opposite direction. So we want to actually reset our fibroblasts to the younger, more resilient state and then do treatments on them instead of just treating people off the street without knowing what their status is, how their cells are functioning. Let's actually reset cell cycle and then do these treatments on people that have non-exhausted resilient fibroblasts. Imagine the difference in the results. And number five is that AI-assisted beauty tech predictions and planning are going to become huge. Like, we've all played with enough AI, but it's time now to use AI as an intelligence tool. It's not just for marketing. It's for actually helping predict aging trajectories. And I like it really for the idea of simulating an outcome, making a digital avatar of a patient based on their facial anatomy, their facial fat loss, their facial aging, based on their laboratory data, and looking at adjusting and tweaking that digital avatar to predict and show the patient the possible outcome. Imagine if you could do that. Imagine if you could predict the outcome of 5 years of collagen stimulator treatments and how that would change your trajectory towards ever potentially needing a facelift or pushing it forward 10 years. I think that's going to be amazing. I think these emerging AI platforms for diagnosis, for patient compliance, for putting all of our wearable tracker data, these are all coming. We have so much data, but we need to actually now use it. Number six is skin quality and skin senescence. We want to be able to stop the process of senescence. We can't stop it entirely. Senescence has a reason. Senescence is this process where cells become zombie-like, they stop dividing, they stop actively healing and repairing themselves, and they just sit around fat and lazy. And we have cells that are in this very phase a lot of the time, and up to 30 to 40% of skin cells, dermal cells, can go into senescence. And it's when we start to see the transition where you have more senescence than you have active, viable cells that you start to see aging changes. So we want to treat for skin senescence. Skin quality can be center stage, where people love treatments that enhance texture, hydration, luminosity, the health of the barrier layer. And everything that we do, from microdroplet HAs to microneedling polynucleotides, all these things are going to turn on the bioregenerative processes. But it's important to start looking at our patients and reading their skin like it's an indicator of their overall senescence. When someone comes into you and they look weathered, tired, leathery skin, dry skin, bad skin barrier, rosacea or acne, they are giving you a billboard message right in front of you. They're showing you what their internal senescence markers look like, and it shows up externally on their skin. So this concept of teaching patients how we're going to change your diet, we're going to change your gut microbiome, and then we're going to do some interventions, and then we're going to reset your mTOR cycle using products like ReCu, one of my favorite new products that resets the cell cycle. This is the new way of treating faces. So it's not just getting facials. It's not just doing a laser treatment. It's actually using these tools to change senescence patterns of the skin. And number seven is longevity-driven aesthetics and biointegration. So aesthetic care is going to intersect more than ever with longevity medicine. And this is our time. 2026, let this be the year that we bring longevity medicine into our practices. I think it's so important that we treat patients like full organisms. They're not just people who need to have beauty. They need to have a better way to heal, a better way to regenerate, a slower pathway of aging. And hopefully we are going to get patients to the point that they don't have debilitation and frailty. And we need to educate our patients to discuss with them things like their hormones, their metabolism, their overall support, their supplements that they're taking, were they nutritionally depleted? This is the time when we can really improve what we're doing in aesthetics and take control of the longevity market, which, as you know, everyone is trying to get a stake in this. Everyone is selling peptides. Every patient is buying peptides from research-grade animal labs, and they don't even know the seriousness or the significance of that. So it's really important that we step forward as providers, medically educated providers, to be the people who actually dominate this field. We want to make sure that we don't allow influencers and the Instagram bros to take over the longevity and aesthetics field. Number 8, sensory and experiential beauty. This is one of my favorite ones. I think that we are going to transform our offices into places where people can get a fully experiential treatment. So to engage the senses. So think about not just the products and the ingredients that go on your skin, but the ritual-based skincare that has fragrance, it has texture, they feel good beyond the performance metrics. Yes, we do excellent work as dermatologists and excellent work as plastic surgeons. We do great work as, doing esthetician work in our offices, but we need to do more. We need to feel good beyond performance metrics. So I love this concept of sharing experience first rituals, because that is also very holistic, that it makes you perform in the moment. It makes you as a patient stay in the moment and enjoy the experience, and then it really amplifies what we do. Number 9 is a shift in demographics. I predict that we're going to care more for all ages. It's interesting that in aesthetics we have that demographic of 30 to 60 that we want to say this is our zone. But in reality, it's so much more than that. I envision a day where we are going to treat teens as soon as they get hormonal acne and they never have to get scarring and problems. I think it's so important that we educate people on how to take care of their skin beyond what Instagram and Sephora teach them. I also think that we neglect our patients after age 60. Everyone needs to keep on, having attention and care given for every age and every stage of life, whether it's a subtle rhinoplasty when you turn 50, 60 and your nose is growing longer, and your earlobes are stretching, doing a neck lift earlier, doing various types of priorities that can really restructure the face and give long-term aging improvements. I'm all about foundation building. I'm all about collagen biostimulators. And I think that when we do approaches that extend across the decades, that we're going to have happier patients that head into potential surgeries with better, thicker, taut skin, firm foundation. So let's think about caring for all ages. I also love this concept of thinking about skin as having its own frailty. As we get to be 70 and 80, we all have grandmas and relatives who have such thin, friable skin and bruisability. And it's also our job to look at the skin of all these areas of the body, and I feel that treatments are going to become more extensive for the extremities, for the arms, for those of us who play, pickleball and you got to wear those short skirts. It's really important that we start treating the whole human, and that means retin-A body creams. That means treatments that treat every part. And then number 10, cultural and aesthetic nuances. I think that our industry is so intimately tied with Instagram and social media, and there's a value in that. It's not just being topical and being trendy and being cute or cool. I really like the idea that we can bring broader cultural aesthetics into our industry, and we can actually help to shape the future of what is going to happen in aesthetics. So maybe we look at futurism. Maybe we look at opera aesthetic and elegance. Maybe we bring nostalgia to our work. Maybe we look at balancing faces with serene palettes that look like Mother Nature intended them. I think that the content we create in our office is able to tie really intimately with the cultural aesthetic and what people are feeling and what's going on in society and what we see in our movie stars and our women that we look up to and our politicians and everyone out there. But we have the ability to change the messaging. So content gold, curate trends and stories and storytell. Let's tell everybody what we're doing in our offices that's so important for our patients. That's kind of my focus. I think 2026 is going to be a very cool year. It's going to be unique. We're going to let go of a lot of baggage from aesthetics. The industry now has a chance to grow in new and fresh directions. We've been saddled by big behemoth industry companies that have sort of shaped the voice and tone and what they think was popular. And that kind of trickled into our patients and went into social and gave us these overfilled, unnatural looks. And I say, let's take back that conversation this year and let's really curate the faces of individuals, the beauty of every age, and kind of the serenity that comes with the naturalistic and holistic approach. So, are you ready, guys? I'm ready for 2026. Send me your message. Tell me what your thoughts are. I'd love to hear what people in our industry are brainstorming for what's coming next. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. And that's where you can find our new Skin Longevity line, which launches this year in January. I'm very excited to bring peptides, including GHK copper and glutathione, and my own signature KD tripeptide complex. That's right, three peptides, not just one, three, that improve collagen and elastin and skin foundation. And while you're doing that, you're also going to get NAD boosters. That's right, NAD precursors to get that mitochondrial glow and pigment perfection, because why not? Love you guys. Stay beautiful.